Amen. Let's pray. You know, God is good. And I believe God wants to speak here this morning. And you know, there's been a connection. There's actually been a thread that's gone right through the meeting, through the worship, through the guys coming up and speaking, Pauline and Jay and Stephen, our meeting leader. This is Stephen's first time to get up here, and he did a great job. Bless you, Stephen. But yeah, there's been a thread that's gone right through. And this morning what I'm actually going to be speaking about is about the Holy Spirit. You know, so God has been speaking, and I believe God has more to say in the house this morning. So let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Father, we thank you that you're good, Lord. The Father, that you care about the 99 and the one that goes missing, Lord. The Father, that you keep it all intact, Lord. And Father, this morning, Lord, I ask, Father, that you would increase here this morning through the word. Father, that ears would be open this morning. Hearts would be ready to receive, Father God. Father, we pray against any distractions that come in the house, Lord God. And Father, we seal up your spirit to come and to fill us, Lord God, and to give us more and more and more this morning, Father. Father, we glorify your name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Well, you're very welcome to the house this morning. It's great to have so many new faces in the house. We've some people that are here off the back of the great big day out. I've seen some people in the house, so it's great to have you here this morning. You know, we're a house that's very lively. You might have gathered that. But we're a house that loves God. We love God in this house. And you know what? We want to love you here this morning because that's what we do. And this morning, we're still on the series called Breakthrough. And if you want to learn how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by faith, and we spoke about faith here this morning, it's the most important breakthrough that you'll get in your life. It's being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And if you want a title for this message, I've actually titled the message, Empowered People. You know, and how we can become empowered people. And I got Erica to do that slide for me this morning. And yet the waves are crashing and all of that. But we can still be empowered people through any storm or through any circumstances that come at us. And the scripture that I'll be looking at this morning is John 16:7. And it's a well-known scripture. And, you know, Jesus talks in this scripture about sending the counselor, about sending the comforter, about sending the one that will guide us. Because he had to go back to the Father. And we'll pick that up in another little bit. But you know, Jesus came to establish a movement of people. He didn't come to establish a religion organization. That's not what he came to do. But he came to establish a movement of people. A movement of people who understand why we are put on this planet. Why we are put here. We're here to make a difference. We're here to bring change. And you know, the last words that Jesus spoke to the disciples before he ascended, before he went back to the Father, he commissioned them. He told them to go and to preach the good news. He told them to go and preach and teach to many people. He told them to go and to heal the sick. This is what Jesus commissioned the disciples to do. But there was also a very important warning that he gave them, and that warning was that they were not to leave Jerusalem. They were not to leave Jerusalem until they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that was a significant warning that he gave them. You know, I began to think about this. Here was these bunch of guys and probably some women as well, and they were in the upper room, and I began to think, you know, they were told to wait. They were told to wait because Jesus had promised them, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to fill you. And they were waiting in that upper room. And there was 120 people in that room. And one thing about the disciples, they did not walk by their feelings, but they walked by what Jesus said. They stayed in submission to what Jesus said to them. And here they were. They're in this upper room, and it's packed, it's cramped, and there's probably a whole load of heat going on, and not heat from the sun, but I'd say it was body heat that was going on in that room. And there was no air conditioning in the room, I would take it. There was no deodorant in the room. And there was a whole load of manly sweat hanging around in that room. But here they were. They waited. They were in the upper room, crammed in. And yet they endured patience. And they received a major breakthrough. A breakthrough of the promise of God coming through. They waited on God. They waited on the Holy Spirit to come. And this developed a character of patience in the disciples. The waiting in the upper room, you can just begin to imagine the anticipation that was within them. You know, praying to the Father, you know, and seeking the Lord in prayer and saying, Lord, what is it? When are you sending it? When is it going to come? You know, Lord, get me ready. Get me ready for what's about to come. Get me ready for what's about to take place here. You know, Lord, help me to deal with this fear that's within me. You know, Lord, help me to deal with the unbelief that's in me right now. You know, Lord, open me up to what's to come. Open my spirit up to what's to come from you. And you know, he opened them up. And because they were opened up in that room. Because the Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples. And sometimes in our lives, as people, as Christians, we can become so crammed with stuff in our lives. And we can become so hot and bothered as we wait for the Lord to move in our situations. The disciples had to wait. And the Spirit of God came. And the Spirit of God fell upon them. And you know, this wasn't some nice little quirky meeting that they had. You know, in the scriptures, it tells us that there was a roaring wind. There was such a wind, a violent wind that came through and swept through that room. How often on a Sunday morning have we sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit here? Where we're in tune with the worship, where we're in tune with the word, we're in tune with fellowship. And you know, we get that feel good factor. You know, where we get it. Where we say, oh yeah, God is here today. The presence of God is here today. Wasn't church good today? But come the rest of the week, we can feel disempowered as people. We can feel that we've lost that sense of that good feel factor that we had on Sunday morning. And sometimes we go through the week and we begin to say to ourselves, gosh, this Christian life is boring. This Christian life is actually hard. There's no victory. There's no victory in my walk. There's no power in my walk. I'm not sensing the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm not impacting people around me. And you know, maybe you've never heard a message like this before, which is possible, or you were in a place where you weren't ready to receive. And this morning, I want to drive this home. This morning, you're in a good place. This morning, you can receive the power of the Holy Spirit. The same power that was in Pentecost is the same power that's operating here today. And you can be filled with this power of the Most High. You see, the power that will equip you to do God's work, it will fill you. It will guide you. You will be directed. Your life will be directed if you let the Holy Spirit come in and empower you. Because you know what the Holy Spirit does? When he moves in, he takes over. And he will empower you to live a life free from the control of sin. That's what he does. You see, our God really does want his people to be happy. That's one thing about God. He wants you to be happy. But we need to be led. We need to be a people that are led by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the disciples, it wasn't enough for them just to hang out with Jesus for 3 years. That wasn't enough. Although they witnessed him preaching, although they witnessed him teaching to the multitudes, and they witnessed him teaching and preaching to one-on-one, it wasn't enough. They witnessed him healing many people. They seen him deliver people that were demon-possessed. They seen him deliver people that were blind. They seen this, they witnessed this, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough that they seen him raising people from the dead, like the widow's son at Nain and Jairus' daughter and even his good friend Lazarus. It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. They needed to be empowered. And that's why they had to wait in the upper room. That's why Jesus gave them that command. Do not leave Jerusalem until I send the Comforter, until I send the one that will guide you, that will teach you, that will enable you to preach to many nations. That was why he told them to wait in that room. You see, there was a new dynamic of the Spirit of God being poured out. And we sang about it this morning. You know, fill us up more and more, Lord. And this is why the disciples had to wait. There was a new dynamic of the Spirit that was about to break out. And this Spirit was about to break out in order that they could be fruitful, that they could go out and heal the sick, that they could go out and heal, and that they could go out and preach and teach, that they could go out and witness to a lost world. This is why they had to be waiting on the Spirit to come, so that they could be empowered. They could be empowered as people of God. You know, when you're led and empowered by the Holy Spirit, your life is going to get exciting. And who wants a bit of excitement in their life? I know I do. But you know, your Christian life does not have to be boring. Because the Holy Spirit is not about being boring. He's about being powerful and impacting your life where you're at. You know, you can go from Sunday to Sunday, but it's not enough. You can come in here on a Sunday and you can get caught up in the worship. You can get caught up in the fellowship. You can get caught up in the word. And that's great. That's all great. But come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you can live a miserable Christian life. You can live a life of self-centeredness. You can live a life of being impatient. A life of getting by, but just being miserable. Just being miserable. And you can be known as, here's misery guts coming in. You know, you can be empowered today. If you're not being led by the Holy Spirit, you're not being empowered by the Holy Spirit. If you're not being led by the Holy Spirit, you're not being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And right now, if I was to ask a question, do you know his power in your life today? Do you know the power of God right now in your life? And here's some things that you might feel or you mightn't feel. If the power of the Holy Spirit is operating through you, you will feel an inner urge to be kind, to be compassionate. You will feel an inner urge to be constructive in your walk with Jesus. You will feel the Holy Spirit operating in your heart. When you pray, you will feel that your prayers are not just hitting the ceiling. When you pray, you will feel that you're entering into God's world. When you find yourself looking out for the needs of others, that's the Spirit of God working through you. When you protest against injustice, that's the Spirit of God protesting in you. When you take up demanding tasks because you feel that's the right thing to do, that's the Spirit operating through you. And I have to commend two of our men in this house. Since we started the great big day out, and one of them is up here, I don't know where the other one is, but Paul Kelch and Derek Richardson, two men I commend for the work that they have done for the great big day out. You know, these were two men. It didn't matter what they were asked to do. They got in, they got stuck in. They were travelling back and forth to Clondalkin, I don't know how many times, you know, dropping things and setting up things. But two men that did it out of a willingness because they're obeying the Holy Spirit. You know, when you experience joy without any special reason, that's the Holy Spirit. You become part of God's VIP team. You share the DNA of God. You belong to the best company. When you share the Spirit of God. When God breaks out in your life, things are going to change. And I have to warn you, when God breaks out, things will change. Things that you probably don't want to let go. But trust me, you know, the Spirit is not going to leave you where you're at. You see, when you're led by the Holy Spirit, you never know what's going to happen from one day to the next. And that's what keeps life exciting, when you're led by His presence. Here's another question. Right now, is your life a fruitful witness for Christ? If we have a look at the scripture, John 16:7. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And you know, I looked up the Message Bible, and in the Message Bible, it calls the counselor friend. The Holy Spirit is called friend. And it says in the Message Bible, if I don't leave, the friend won't come. And this was Jesus telling the disciples, if I don't go back to the Father, the friend is not going to come. But if I don't go back to the Father, he won't come. You see, Jesus did what he was sent to do. When he came to the earth, he was on a mission. He came, and then he went back to the Father. He died a horrific death. And this was all part of God's plan. And today, there would be no good news if he did not die. If he had have not gone back to the Father, the Holy Spirit would not have come. You see, the reason that he had to go back to the Father was because physically, he was here when he was a man. He could only be in one place at one time. He could only be in one place at one time preaching. He could only be in one place at one time teaching. He could only be in one place at one time healing the sick. And yet, you know, the multitudes came and he would go and he would preach and he would teach. But he couldn't be in two towns at the same time. So the reason he died, and he told the apostles, wait, because the Comforter is going to come. The Holy Spirit is going to come. He's going to come and he's going to fill you. You see, the presence of Jesus physically on the earth had its limitations. It had its limitations. It had restrictions on him. But when the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit could be everywhere. The Holy Spirit could be everywhere. I know the Spirit is mentioned often in the Bible. It's mentioned in the baptism of Jesus, when Jesus saw the Spirit alighting and coming upon him. And we know the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth. You see, the Holy Spirit was there in the beginning. He was there in the beginning. And you see, God is known, who is the Trinity, is known as the Trinity. He's three persons who manifest as God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I began to think about that. How do you explain this, Lord? How do you explain that you're God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? So, okay, here we go. So, my husband, he's a man. He's a husband, he's a father, and he's a son. So he's a husband, he's a father, and he's a son. But yeah, he is one man. And you see, God, who is three persons, who manifests as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not some fleecy white cloud, or he's not some ghost that appears, but he is actually a person. He's part of the Trinity. He's part of the Trinity, and he's co-equal with the Father and the Son. You see, the Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus and the Father to take us into the presence of God, and so that God would be real to us. The Holy Spirit came so that he could be everywhere, which meant that he could be in all of us, every single one of us here today. He could be guiding every single one of us. He could be leading every single one of us. He can be teaching every single one of us. Let me share this with you. I know what it is to struggle. I know what it's like to struggle. I know what it's like to try and please God. I know what it's like to try and to be more godly and to try and pray more. I know what that's like. I've done it. I know what it's like to try and be more religious and to be more holy. I've done it. But you know what? In it, I have felt so frustrated. I've felt so frustrated because it wasn't a realness with God. I felt I was doing this out of my own efforts. But what I have learned is that this is just part of the process. It's part of the process with your walk with God. You know, I remember I would look at leaders and I would look at people and I would say, they have it all together. They have it all together. And I would feel that I would never elevate to where they were at. But that was a lie from the enemy. Because the same Holy Spirit that poured out on the apostles on Pentecost is the same Holy Spirit that I serve today. It's the same Holy Spirit that has transformed me because I allowed him move into my life. You know, last year, myself and Stephen, we decided to go for a walk. We decided to go to visit Glendalough. And we took a stroll, and I will say a stroll, which I thought was only going to be about 10, 15 minutes. So we went up this hill, and in my head I'm saying, when we go up here, we should be able to just come down another set of steps and get back down to the end. But as we went up this hill, the hill kept elevating and elevating and elevating. And I'm at this stage panicking because there's no way down. So an hour goes by and we're still elevating up the top of this mountain. And we had only one small bottle of water. 2 hours goes by and we're still elevating up the hill. And all I can see is green, green, green hills. And Stephen would run ahead. And I would see him going ahead and I would say, right, we must be nearly coming down this hill. We must be nearly coming down the mountain. And he would come back and I would know by the look on his face that we were nowhere near our destination. 3 hours went by. At this stage, I sat down on the ground. I said, Lord, where are you? Lord, please send me a parachute. I'll jump off this mountain. But that didn't happen. 4 hours went by and eventually we came down to our destination. And when we got down to the bottom, we had about another half an hour's walk to the car park. But the reason I'm sharing this is, let's suppose you're in a certain place and you need to find the way to your destination. You need to find your way across country, across hills, across mountains. And God gives you two options. You can have a map or you can have a personal guide. That's what God says to you. So you're strong-minded, you're competitive, and you say to yourself, okay, I'll take the map because I know geography, I'm able to read these maps. So you respond and you say, right, Lord, I'm going to take the map. So you set off, you're singing to the birds, the sun is shining, and it's all good. And you have that feel-good factor, and you're saying to yourself, this is a piece of cake, this is a walk in the park. 3 days later, you're in the middle of a forest. It's midnight. It's raining. And you don't know whether you're facing north, south, east or west. You don't even know whether you're on the edge of a cliff. But a gentle voice says to you, can I help guide you? The guide says, give me your hand and I will get you out of this. A little while later, you and your guide are on the road walking side by side. Then it occurs to you, gosh, I was pretty silly. I was pretty silly to be panicking and to be having anxiety attacks just about being lost in the forest. I could have made it on my own. So you turn around and you go to explain this to the guide, but the guide is not there anymore. So you shrug your shoulders and you say, well, I can make it on my own, and you set off again. 2 days later, you're in the middle of a bog and you're sinking and you're sinking. And the bog is in Cork. Have you anyone in the house from Cork? We've Christy. Okay. So you're in the middle of the bog and you're sinking and you're sinking. You don't know what to do. And you think to yourself, I can't ask for help. The last time I got it, I didn't do the right thing. At this moment, to your amazement, the guide is right beside you. He says, let me help you. And you start off together again. Then you remember that you have the map in your pocket. So you take it out and you offer it to the guide, saying, maybe you'd like that. And the guide says, thanks, I know the way. I don't need the map. Then the guide says, as a matter of fact, I made the map. Amen. Amen. I know the reason I shared that story, it's up to us to decide, will I take the map or will I trust in the guide? You see, the guide is the Holy Spirit. The guide is the Holy Spirit to help us in our Christian walk. How often does it happen in our lives? How many times do we go back to trusting in our own wisdom, our own cleverness, and we snub the Holy Spirit? You see, the Holy Spirit is the one who brought the church into being. He's the one that was guiding the church. He was the one that was upholding the people. And the Holy Spirit is saying today, if you will just listen. And how we can listen and be effective in our lives for Christ. We go to John 16:12. And it says in John 16, I have much to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. Can you imagine if God was to show us every single thing that was wrong with us? Every single thing that's wrong with you. You see, that's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us. We need the Holy Spirit to show us stuff when we're ready to be shown stuff. Because he knows the right time, the right appointment when he needs to reveal stuff to us. He guides. He doesn't shove. He doesn't push us around. He leads. That's what he does best. The Holy Spirit leads us. And this morning I'm bringing this message because if you don't receive truth, you're not going to get well. You're going to be that same Christian that just comes in on a Sunday and just receives everything on the Sunday. And come Monday to Saturday, you're going to be miserable. You're not going to have that feel-good factor for 7 days a week. You see, the Holy Spirit will give you a message. What he hears from the Father. It's him that intercedes to the Father for us. You see, Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. And he gives us Galatians where it says, he will produce much fruit in us. And the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, that's the Holy Spirit's job to come and to transform us into all of those things. It's him that can do it. It's not us. Believe me, I've tried. I've fallen flat on my face. But when you allow him to come and do that, you become like one of the apostles, empowered with the presence and with the Spirit of God. When we are filled with the Spirit, our personality changes. As you continue to walk in the filling and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit becomes so obvious in your life. It becomes so obvious. You know, there's many Christians that I know, friends, they've been born again, but they never really go on to be led by the Holy Spirit. They never achieve maturity, and they never be complete as a Christian, as God intended them to be. And if you are asking God to fill you, to empower you, to empower you, you have got to make room. You've got to make room in your heart for God to come in. You see, your life is like a house, and it has many rooms. And one by one, the Holy Spirit will go into each room, and he will turn on the light. And we have a choice, and we heard today about choices. And we have a choice. We can either respond, or we can let him show us what he wants, or we can try to turn off the light to keep him out of the room. And if we keep trying to turn off the light, there will come a point when he will stop trying to turn it on. Acts 1:8 says, that disciples were in the upper room. They were in the upper room. Are you hearing this morning? And Jesus told them to wait. He told them to wait, that you will receive power when the Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witness. You will be the people that will go out and change the world. You will be the ones that I will send out from Jerusalem. You see, when you give your life to Jesus, you've got to make room for him to live. When you confess that you want him to come in and move into your life, you've got to mean it. You've got to mean it. There's no good just saying it and then having an a la carte Christianity. I know people that live behind closed doors as Christians, and they're a nightmare. And they can be a nightmare to live with. They can be so controlling, so envious, so jealous of others. And yet they go back to church on Sunday and they get the feel-good, happy factor feeling again. And then they live out the rest of the week miserable. That's not what the Holy Spirit came for. He came to empower his people. He came for you and I so that we would know excitement in our lives. You know, last week at the big day out, I sprained my ankle. And it was very difficult for me to walk on my foot. I was actually supposed to preach last week, and I was hopping in here anyway. But I was limping around, and somebody gave me a set of crutches, and I just brought this up, you know. And they gave it to me out of a good heart. They gave it to me so that I could lean on this to help me get around, so that I could lean on this for my leg to be supported. But I made a choice. I made a choice. Do I trust in the Holy Spirit, or do I trust in this crutch for my life? And I believe God is saying here this morning, there's many things in your heart. There's many things in your life. There's many things, many situations that trouble you. Are you leaning on the crutch? What crutch are you leaning on today? Because the Holy Spirit is the only crutch that we should be leaning on. It's him that will empower you. It's the Holy Spirit that will help you get through whatever it is that you need to get through. It's the Holy Spirit that will change your attitude to be able to love people, to be able to be compassionate. It's the Holy Spirit that's the crutch. He's the only crutch that we need in our lives. You know, at times as Christians, we have a habit of trying to work things out in our heads. We have a habit of trying to come up with a solution. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. That's his job. When we give everything over to him, when we lean on him as the crutch. If you are willing for Jesus to live in and through you, you will bear much fruit. You will bear much fruit from him. Just like the disciples in the upper room, when you seek, and when you pray, and Stephen alluded to it earlier on about the prayer meeting, that we have a prayer meeting here every Thursday. When you come and you seek God, just like the disciples did, God will empower you. God will empower you in your life. What's the Father getting you ready for today? What's going on in your life that the Father is getting you ready? Is it to overcome unbelief or fear? And maybe you need to say to the Lord today, open me up. Open me up like you opened up the disciples in the upper room. Open me up so that the power of God and the Spirit of God can come and fill me and fall on me. If you're willing for this to happen today, you see, God is going to bring out your gifts. He's going to bring out your talents. He's going to empower you if you want to preach, if you want to teach. He's going to empower you to pray. He's going to empower you to heal the sick. He is going to empower you to be a witness for him. So maybe you need to say to the Lord today, open me up. Open me up. Come in and live in one of those rooms that I keep locked. Come in and live in that room that I won't let you in. Lord, I'm surrendering to it today. I'm going to call the worship team to come back. I'm going to surrender it to you today, Lord. Come in and live in that area of my life where I don't want to give over to you. I find it hard to give it over to you. But you know, through the strength and through the power of the Holy Spirit, It's Him that enables us to do the things that we can't do as humans. Will you lean on the Holy Spirit as your crutch today? Will you lean on the Holy Spirit as your crutch today? Not man or woman, but on the power of the Holy Spirit. Will you come and will you lean on Him as the crutch today? Because He's the one that's the counselor. He's the one that's the comforter. He's the one that will guide and that will lead you. And yes, He brings people around us, and that's great. And you know, people can help us on the journey. But it's the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that came on the disciples at Pentecost. It's the same power that's alive today. It's the same Spirit that's operating today. It's the same Spirit of God that wants to transform your life today. Are you willing to come? Are you willing to come and surrender every part of your life to God today? Every situation.